Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to the commentary series on the Confessions of St. Augustine. I'm Dr. Paul Thigpen, an author and retired professor of historical theology. This is the 20th and final episode of our series, and we're using the TAN edition of the book. Today we explore Book 13, chapters 35 through 38. We saw in our previous episode, in the earlier chapters of Book 13, how Augustine has been drawing an array of deep spiritual meanings from the creation account and the opening verses of Genesis. Now he concludes his celebrated masterpiece of a spiritual autobiography by focusing on the Sabbath day in the world's creation story, which allows him to offer the hope of eternal rest and peace in heaven when this life on earth is done. Let's pray together in the saint's own words. Lord, all the things you have made are beautiful, and behold, you who made them all are more beautiful, beyond words to tell it. We've seen that throughout the Confessions, beginning with its very first page, one prominent theme is Augustine's lament over the disordered human soul. Sin has disrupted and even overturned the interior natural order that God originally intended for us. Our first parents lost that right ordering, that original righteousness or original justice, when they rebelled against God, and their descendants have suffered from that terrible loss ever since. For this reason, as you'll recall, Augustine memorably says to God in his opening lines of the Confessions, "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." So what kind of disorder are we talking about? To review what we discussed in an earlier episode, this disorder manifests itself in countless ways, but at its most fundamental level, it reflects a disordered love. Righteousness is a kind of right ordering within the soul. Justice is giving to each person or thing what is its due. So the righteous soul is rightly related to God, to other people, and to things by loving them in their due order. We may love good things, but people are better than things or higher than things. They have an inherent dignity beyond things. So if we are to relate to people rightly, if we are to give them what they are due because of their great dignity, then we must love people more than things. And since God is the greatest good of all, the highest good, the one to whom we owe everything that we are and everything that we have, then we must love God most of all if we are to relate rightly to him, if we are to give him what he is supremely due. We sin because our loves are out of order. We may love things more than people. We may love things or people more than we love God. And these disordered loves eventually come into conflict with one another, creating an interior turbulence like the crashing waves and shifting winds of a raging storm at sea. The disordered soul then is fractured and fragmented and tossed about by sin. Those broken shards of the soul are then scattered out by countless distractions and attachments, like magnets pulling the soul through its conflicting loves, its desires and passions, into a war with itself. How could a soul in that condition ever possibly find rest? How could it repose in peace? Peace, Augustine says, is the tranquility of right order. Disorder is antithetical to true peace, not only within individual human souls, but within human society as a whole. We noted in an earlier episode as well that to recover a right order in the soul, We must love God above all things. As the scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Only in this way do we attain true purity of heart, which is to will one thing above all. And that one thing must be to will what God wills. The heart, that is the will, becomes pure in the sense of unmixed, wholly integrated into unity, so that the civil war that has raged within our soul between competing interests, desires, attachments, distractions, is at last resolved into peace. We come to rest in God alone. Augustine's story throughout these 13 books of the Confessions has shown how the Lord relentlessly pursued him to rescue him from the disorder of his soul, which the saint repeatedly admits was thoroughgoing. Slowly, through divine grace that made a path before him, Augustine has been able to enjoy a growing peace of heart, as the fragments of his soul are being gathered together and rightly ordered as he learns to love God above all else. Even so, he knows that he still has a long way to go, as do we all, and he longs for the day when perfect rest and peace will be his at last. For that reason, he finds tremendous hope and consolation in what the scripture tells us about our Sabbath rest. The notion of a Sabbath, and not the term itself, first appears in the Bible in the creation account of Genesis that we've been reading through Augustine's eyes. We're told that God works to create the world in 6 days. What happens next might well surprise us if we hadn't heard the words of this passage all our lives. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day and hallowed it, that is, made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work which he had done in creation. In memory of that divine rest, and in imitation of it, the ancient Hebrews also rested from their labors on every seventh day of the week. And how grateful they were for such a day. Remember, they had toiled without end, day after weary day, through centuries of slave labor in the land of Egypt. When they had finally been rescued from their bondage, God had given them a gracious commandment, and they were grateful to obey it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Recall now how Augustine is offering a spiritual reading of the biblical text, looking for deeper layers of meaning that will enlighten and enliven our souls. What deeper meaning does he find in the notion of the Sabbath, from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease from labor, to rest? A passage in the New Testament epistle to the Hebrews provides the key to a spiritual reading here. The saint's interpretation echoes the words of that biblical book. In the third chapter, the biblical writer quotes the psalmist, who tells how the ancient Hebrews disobeyed God repeatedly as he led them through the desert toward the land where he had promised to give them a home, where they would have at last found rest. But because of their sinful lack of faith, he declared, "I swore in my anger that they should not enter my rest." So he allowed that generation to perish in the desert. The writer of Hebrews then goes on to warn the early Christians that a similar judgment could be theirs if they disobey the Lord. "There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God," he declares. "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest remains, let us fear whether any of you be judged to have failed to reach it." For Augustine, then, "For now we can have a measure of peace and rest, to the degree that we love God and join ourselves to him in this life. Yet we will find ultimate peace and rest, unending peace and rest, only in heaven, where our restless souls will at last cease their labors, their turmoil, their wanderings. The Sabbath day of rest we are to observe every week is only a foreshadowing of that eternal Sabbath, Augustine concludes his massive work, City of God, in a similar way, imagining the glories and the mysteries of heaven as an everlasting Sabbath, a ceasing from our restless struggles and passions, to rest at last in the beatific vision, the blessed vision of the face of God. God Himself will be our reward, a reward so utterly fulfilling, so utterly satisfying, that all our holy desires will be fulfilled and all our unholy desires forever abandoned. Augustine declares, "True peace shall be there, where no one shall suffer opposition, either from himself or any other. God Himself, who is the author of virtue, shall there be its reward. For as there is nothing greater or better, He has promised Himself." What else was meant by His word through the prophet, "I will be your God, and ye shall be my people," than, "I shall be their satisfaction. I shall be all that men honorably desire, life and health and nourishment, and plenty and glory and honor and peace and all good things." This too, he goes on, is the right interpretation of the saying of the apostle, that God may be all in all. He shall be the end of our desires, who shall be seen without end, loved without cloy, praised without weariness. This outgoing of affection, this employment, shall certainly be like eternal life itself, common to all. There shall be accomplished the words of the psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." There shall be the great Sabbath, which has no evening, which God celebrated among His first works, as it is written, "And God rested on the seventh day from all His works which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God began to make. For we shall ourselves be the seventh day, when we shall be filled and replenished with God's blessing and sanctification." In heaven, we won't simply have entered into the eternal Sabbath. We will have become that rest ourselves, with His works made perfect in us, and our works made perfect in Him, through the grace that has redeemed us from the fall. Satan tempted our first parents by deceitfully promising that our rebellion would make us like gods. If we had not turned away from our Creator, through His grace, we would have become like gods, by having a share in His own nature, as Scripture tells us. Now, through the salvation that comes to us in Jesus Christ, that original destiny will at last be fulfilled, and much more, because in Christ, His divine nature has been joined to our human nature, and we, as St. Paul tells us, will be filled with all the fullness of God. "There shall we be still and know that He is God," Augustine announces, "that He is that which we ourselves aspired to be, when we fell away from Him and listened to the voice of the seducer, 'Ye shall be as gods,' and so abandoned God, who would have made us as gods, not by deserting Him, but by participating in Him. For without Him, what have we accomplished, save to perish in His anger? But when we are restored by Him and perfected with greater grace, we shall have eternal leisure to see that He is God. For we shall be full of Him when He shall be all in all. For even our good works, when they are understood to be rather His than ours, are imputed to us that we may enjoy this Sabbath rest. For if we attribute them to ourselves, they shall be servile. For it is said of the Sabbath, 'Ye shall do no servile work in it.' Wherefore also it is said by Ezekiel the prophet, 'And I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctify them.'" This knowledge, Augustine goes on to say, shall be perfected when we shall be perfectly at rest and shall perfectly know that He is God. After this present period, God shall rest as on the seventh day, when He shall give us, who shall be the seventh day, rest in Himself. The seventh age shall be our Sabbath, which shall be brought to a close not by an evening, but by the Lord's day, as an eighth and eternal day, consecrated by the resurrection of Christ, and prefiguring the eternal repose not only of the spirit, but also of the body. There we shall rest and see and love, love and praise. This is what shall be in the end, without end. For what other end do we propose to ourselves than to attain to the kingdom of which there is no end? And so we must at last conclude our commentary on these confessions of St. Augustine, the inspiring and illuminating spiritual journey of a soul from ceaseless restlessness to ceaseless rest. I hope this necessarily brief introduction will persuade you to delve even more deeply into the marvel and the mystery of his brilliant, passionate writings. Even so, we can never fully mine the depths of his mind and heart. His works are so voluminous, the medieval Spanish scholar Saint Isidore of Seville once declared, that anyone who claims to have read all that Augustine wrote is a liar. We've closed each episode with one of his prayers. This time it's a rather extended prayer from the final pages of this magnificent book that is itself one long extended prayer, a winding, humble, heartfelt conversation with God. Let's make this final prayer our own. Lord God, give us the peace of rest, the peace of the Sabbath, the peace without an evening. For this most lovely order of things, so very good when their measures have been run, shall pass away. For in them too have been made a morning and an evening. But the seventh day is without an evening and has no setting, because you have made it holy and to abide forever. And thus, after you had made all your very good works, though you were at rest when you made them, you rested, that the voice of your book might foretell to us that we too, after all our works that are very good, because you have given them to us, might rest in you, in the Sabbath of eternal life. For then you also shall rest in us, just as now you work in us, and so shall that rest of yours be through us, just as these works you work are through us. But you, Lord, are ever at work and ever at rest. You, the good, in need of no good, are always at rest, because you are your own rest. Lord God, grant us peace, for you have bestowed all things upon us. Amen.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including the Confessions and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.